Kim Weaver is the Director of External Affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. Kim, the board meeting yesterday consisted of what primarily that people are thinking and talking about?
Well, the bigger news, I think, that came out of yesterday's meeting was the discussion about our review of a mutual fund window. In the 2009 TSP Enhancement Act, that law gave us the authority to do a whole host of things. Immediate contributions, for example, you get a new employee on board, they no longer have to wait 6 to 12 months. They get immediate employer matching contributions right away. Spousal beneficiary accounts, so that if a participant dies, their spouse can leave their money in under their own name in the TSP. The Roth TSP was another thing. And then one of the last thing out of that act that we're looking at is the statute gave us the authority to decide whether or not we wanted to implement a mutual fund window.
And explain the term mutual fund window, because that's something that that's one I'm not familiar with.
It allows a participant, and this is happening somewhat in the private sector. It's not huge, but it's happening a little bit, where people can take their money out of the plan that they're in and invest it in a mutual fund or a suite of mutual funds that gives them exposure to things that are not contained in what they're already invested in. And the reason this was done is there have been over the years a whole host of proposals for specific TSP funds. They're terror-free funds, socially responsible investing, gold funds, REITs, you name it, there have been people who have wanted specific TSP funds. And one of the geniuses of the TSP is that it's a very simple plan with limited funds, which makes it a low-cost fund. And so we have always been very careful to guard that and make that low-cost option available to our participants. What a mutual fund window and what we're going to be studying over the next year, this is not, no one should be expecting that by Christmas this is going to be something that's available. Over the next year, we're going to be studying that, seeing how it's working in the private sector, seeing what kind of costs that might pass through to our participants should we decide to go down that route, determine whether there's a lot of interest in it. One of the things, we had an Employees Thrift Advisory Council meeting 2 weeks ago, and the Employee Thrift Advisory Council is a group that's made up of 15 union and employee groups, the postal unions, the federal employee unions, Senior Executive Association, Federally Employed Women, that group, a representative from DOD for the Uniformed Services. And one of the discussions we had at that meeting was, are they sensing a lot of demand from their members for a mutual fund window? And the feedback was largely, no, they're not. And ETAC is, like our board, waiting to get the results of our study, which, as I said, will take at least a year before they're going to make any recommendations or commitments to us. But so far, they are not sensing any pent-up participant demand, and we will take that into account as well as we think this through.
The idea of the Thrift Savings Plan as it was conceived by Congress seems to me to be exactly what you referred to. The beauty of the TSP is that it's very simple, and I wonder if this might wind up complicating things, and you mentioned the fees. Is one of the things that you're going to look at, do you think, the idea of, if this were to go forward, a way to firewall those fees so that they're directed toward the people who would accrue them because they want to participate in this kind of thing?
That would be one of the many things we'd have to look at. One of the other the issues that we'd have to look at is fee disclosures. The department, we, as you know, our fees are about 4.6 basis points, or less than 50 cents per thousand invested in the TSP. The Department of Labor has been very clear that they want to make sure that 401k is offered to employees, that those employees have a sense of the costs for the various options that they have. And so one of the challenges we would have is, if money was going to go outside the TSP into a private sector suite of mutual funds, we would have to figure out how to make sure that those participants realized the cost differential, so that they weren't surprised by that if they moved money outside of the TSP.
The other thing that you talked about, Kim Weaver, of the TSP at the board meeting yesterday is Roth participation. What are you seeing? Some big numbers look like they're starting to
accrue. Yeah, we're really pleasantly surprised at the end of, or not surprised, but pleasant, the results are good. At the end of September, we have 51,354 participants who have put money into the Roth TSP options to the tune of $48.7 million. So as we had hoped, there has been a slow and steady uptick in Roth participation. We attribute some of the slow but steady to the fact that over the summer, various payroll offices were able to make the Roth TSP option available to their employees as they got their programming wrapped up. And October 1st, DFAS, the Defense Finance Accounting System, was able to make the Roth TSP available to active duty Army, Navy, and Air Force. The Marines had already been participating, so now all of the active duty service members have Roth available to them, and we anticipate that as that news rolls out across the world, that we will continue to see a steady increase in the Roth participation.
I'm not the smartest math guy in the world, but I'm trying to extrapolate that. That's a fair amount of money to be accrued by 51,000 people in a short period of time.
It is a nice amount of money, and one of the things that that our statisticians looked at is for the uniformed services, the average Roth, for this is a subset of the people just focused on the Roth TSP participants. So of that 51,000, the uniformed services have already put, they have an average account balance of $954 in it, whereas a FERS has only, well, not only, but 716. So you can see that for uniformed services, they have a greater amount in there, and given their pay structure, that is something that we had anticipated, as had DOD. They recognize that the Roth TSP is a good option for the military.
All right, I'm going to pull one out of my back pocket here, and if you can't answer it, maybe you can mention it to me next time we chat. Do you do any research or have the ability to see the average age of the people that are participating in the Roth TSP?
We will have that come the springish, February, Marchish time frame. We don't have that data, but what we do is each year, or every other year, we match our data with OPM's data, and that demographic report then gives us the information we need to answer your question.